Good afternoon once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, sweet nectar of the gods. We're talking about peaches today on a Food Friday and all the sweet, juicy, delicious things you can do with them. It's peach season, you know. So you're going to find your local grocer or farmer's market brimming with the fuzzy, orangey, yellow, sometimes red fruit. We have two guests in the studio who can tell you just what to do with a peach. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly featured in the Times Union and all over Albany. She's also the author of the blog Silly Goose Farm, and that farm is a real farm. And she teaches culinary classes around Albany. Julie Vanderlee is the director of the community engagement at Fishkill Farms, which specializes in growing a certain delicious tree fruit. It's peaches, if you want to know. How do you like your peaches? Hard, soft, in pies, tarts, or just off the tree? We want to know. The number to call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You can tweet us, if you wish, at WAMC Vox Pop. You can go to our show page on the website, wamc.org/voxpop. We even have a presence on our Facebook page. Yes, WAMC Radio. And then there'll be a Vox Pop post there on Facebook. But we love your calls. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Well, all right. We talk peaches today. And I must confess, Deanna and Julie, when I heard the topic, how are we going to talk about it? Peaches for an hour. But the phone lines are already filling up. So apparently, I was, as usual, dead wrong, and my producer was right. Deanna, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, you brought some good stuff.
Let's hope so. We haven't dug in yet, but we'll see.
All right. You're going to tell me what they are in a minute. Julie Vanderlee, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you much.
I'm glad you found the right parking spot. It's nice to have you here, and hopefully no tickets for you. All right. So before we get to the show, and peaches in general, I got to know, Deanna, what did you bring? It looks and smells delicious.
Well, I brought just a basic peach pie, and I think the recipe will be up on the Vox Pop website here in a little bit, and an upside-down peach cake, which is similar to how you'd make an upside-down pineapple cake. But so you start off in a frying pan, and I use cast iron.
Yeah.
And you melt together some brown sugar and some butter, if you're making like a caramel. Put
you
the peaches in. Yes, lots of butter. And then you put your cake batter on top, put it all in the oven, give it 30 minutes, pull it out, flip it upside down, you have yourself a cake.
This is great. Okay, so what happens generally is once the calls start flowing in, our producer Jessica Blaustein Marshall will come in and start cutting the cake. And as long as the callers are talking, then I can eat. So
awesome.
Hopefully we have some really long questions here. You have a little bit of a complex. I think we should talk about psychology here.
Okay.
You seem to be... You're down on yourself. You're hard on yourself about
the pie. When it comes to the pie, I just, a few weeks ago in the Times Union, and my editor at the Times Union, Jennifer Gish, can attest to this, I do have this long history, this affair with pie.
Yeah,
and it
me
goes
too.
Back to really not paying attention when all the amazing cooks around me growing up were making pie, not paying attention to the ladies at the church dinners when they were making pie, and then going out, you know, leaving the nest, figuring I could probably just pick it up and do it myself, failing miserably for years, and just obsessively making pie, making 2-3 pies a week until I finally got it. So I feel like I'm at the point now where I can make a pie with my eyes closed in my sleep. And today was just so humid and wet that my pie kind of fell apart. So it smells good.
It looks good.
It probably will taste good. It looks a little bad if anybody is
Well, you can watch the stream at wamc.org. We have a live video stream, but I gotta tell you are way too tough on yourself.
Well, if anybody wants to know how to not make a bad pie, call in and we can talk about it.
All right. Not make a bad pie, so how to make a good pie.
Sure.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The what not to do segment today.
All right. Well, we'll get to the pie in a moment, and I still think it's all right with me.
Thanks.
Julie Vanderlee, I asked early while we were in the news, I said, you know, do people grow peaches around here? And you said, well, it's not easy. And what's so tough about it?
Well, the thing is that peaches are really well adapted to drier climates.
Yeah.
And the Northeast, you know, we don't necessarily think about as being tropical or anything like that, but we do have a temperate climate. We have a lot of rain, as evidenced today by the flooding on Central Avenue.
Yeah.
And so growing peaches requires a lot of really careful attention and figuring out how to meet their needs and how to protect them against the myriad pests and crop diseases that come with having this kind of climate.
And it's a tough year this year, you said.
This year, especially. That cold really knocked us for a loop.
But doesn't the cold often knock the pests down before they can really grow? I'm surprised.
It does, but again, like, peaches are pretty well adapted to, you know, warmer climates.
Yeah.
And it's just... It hasn't been a good one for the young buds and that sort of thing on the trees.
But nevertheless, you brought peaches. What have you brought with you?
Well, let's see. I brought a variety here. We've got some white peaches, some yellow peaches, some mango donut peaches.
All right, what's a mango donut peach?
All right, so those of you watching the video stream, it's really flat, like a donut. And these are super juicy, really, really firm in texture, and they have this kind of tropical flavor going on.
Now, are these indigenous, or are these some sort of a hybrid that we've brought here?
An indigenous peach is kind of a...
Okay, so they were none indigenous.
No.
When did they first make their appearance here?
You know,
do you know the history of peaches?
I know the history a little bit, but not to that degree. I know that... you know, in the Northeast, they started coming around in the 1800s.
Hmm.
Folks started planting a bunch. Apricots were actually pretty popular in the Northeast then. But, you know, like apples, they bear very little resemblance to their wild counterpart.
Mm.
So I would say this is a variety that has been bred to look like this and to taste like this.
And it tastes good. Sweet?
It
you said
is
it's juicy,
fabulous.
But is it sweet?
It is. Well, you can have one.
Soon enough. I tell you what, let's start taking calls and then I'll start trying things. Let's go to Mary in Columbia County. Mary, you're first.
Oh, great. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is a great show for me. I love those donut peaches. I think I've always referred to them as donut peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down at a farm not too long ago, about 4 years ago, and I was able to buy 4 young peach trees. And they told me as I was pulling away that I was going to have millions of peaches.
Hmm.
But every spring, it looks really good. The trees look really great. And then I start to have a bunch of peaches. And then what was happening is right before they would get pickable, some rot would get them. They turn into a brown dust, overnight.
Huh.
And I talked to the orchard, and they said that there was, you know, to use copper on them. And so I tried to get some, you know, good, not too horrible things to spray on them.
Right.
And that seemed to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
And so after like 3 or 4 years, and they're wonderful looking trees, and they have, and I actually had like 3 peaches this year.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem now, I think I may have gotten the keeping the insects away partly down, but mm-hmm. what happened now is I pruned them heavily when it was really cold out because they were getting so tall I couldn't get to them.
Right.
And now what happened, if I'm a tree, I'm trying to think like a tree, all their energy went into putting these new shoots. They're like, wow, all our top branches got cut off, and
right.
I was trying to have all the horizontal branches,
mm-hmm.
and they sent up all these shoots going straight up, and I think they put all their energy into that, and they didn't make hardly any peaches.
Hmm.
Oh,
so can you tell me what I did wrong, or like how you're supposed to prune them so they give you peaches, and what you're supposed to put on them? I know you're telling earlier in the show that it's really actually a lot harder to raise maybe than peach trees and apple trees, but I really love these peaches,
mm-hmm.
and I got the trees.
Before we get the answer, Mary, can I just thank you for one of the longest questions of all time? Because I've had a chance to enjoy this donut peach, which is one of the most amazing things I've ever had.
Now, you are so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Julie, go ahead.
So I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a peach growing expert. I do a lot of our sort of public relations work and translating of our farming methods to the public. But what I can tell you is that, you know, I know that pruning the peaches is a pretty fine art, and there's often a lot of debate going on at the farm about when to do it, how hard to do it. And, you know, we actually held off for a while on doing our pruning because of this cold winter. What I could best recommend you doing really is getting in touch with your Cornell Cooperative Extension agent locally, and they might be able to give you a few better tips than I could.
Good idea. And, you know, Mary, may I also suggest, the next time we do a gardening show here, which we do once a month,
Yes. There's
this genius named Fred Breglia, who is
I've been trying to catch that show. I just keep missing it. One quick question more. What do you know anything about spraying on them? Is there anything that you guys suggest that's good for, not so bad for the environment?
Right,
because I've been going to a lot of different...
Well, we have a pretty strict protocol we follow because we're actually an eco-certified orchard. So we use primarily organic materials. We'll only go for something synthetic if it is the least harmful and it's absolutely necessary. So it does sound like you're dealing with a fungus. So that orchard that that told you to use the copper is putting you on the right path. Copper sulfate is a pretty common organic fungicide.
Mary, thanks a lot. And I appreciate the long, long question, because I got to tell you, Julie, whatever you're doing down there, you're doing it right. Now, this is a what donut?
A mango donut.
It is so amazingly delicious. And once again, it is, the farm is, what is it? Fishkill Farms?
Fishkill Farms. That's us.
Are you in Fishkill?
We're in East Fishkill.
Okay, fair enough. I'll tell you what, let's eat some more. I just tried a bite of the pie. Deanna, down on herself. I want to give her a good pep talk because it's really good. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It is Food Friday. We talk peaches. Who knew they'd be so interesting?
Support comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with venues designed for special occasions. VermontFineDining.com and on Facebook. Orange County Tourism in the scenic Hudson Valley, featuring spring gardens, wineries, boat cruises, country inns, and a full schedule of upcoming events. OrangeTourism.org. Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. around City Hall. SchenectadyGreenMarket.org. The Clark Art Institute, Williamstown, Massachusetts, now reopened with a newly expanded campus and the return of the permanent collection on view. ClarkArt.edu. And the Adirondack Council, retiring government-issued air pollution allowances to reduce power plant emissions. AdirondackCouncil.org.
One 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, we're trying the pie right now. It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
So what's wrong? You said there was something wrong with it. The weather was causing trouble. I got to tell you, I don't find anything wrong with this. What's wrong with it?
Well, it's very humid out, and baking is a science. And anytime there's uncontrollables like weather, it can kind of affect how the pie turns out. So I think the filling is okay today, but the crust kind of fell apart on me, and it kind of like had these fissures in it and didn't really want to stay together. And a lot of that I think has to do with the humidity. And part of that, the issue with the crust is the type of flour. If I use a pastry flour usually when I make pie crust.
Yeah.
I think if I used just an all-purpose flour, which is a little bit more sturdy, it probably would have held up better. So it would have looked a little more magazine cover. But, honestly,
yeah.
If the worst thing that's going to happen to me today is that my pie looks a little funny, I have a pretty good life.
Especially on radio.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, just say, hey, this looks amazing. But could it be the atmospheric pressure? I know that when you're cooking in, say, Denver,
sure,
the duration in which you put a pie in the oven is, shorter or longer. So obviously lower pressure today because we have more clouds. Does that affect
it? It probably could. You know, when you're making, if anybody's ever come to one of my pie classes that I teach, something that we talk about is the environment. And if it's, if you're baking in the middle of winter and it's, all the forced air in your house is drying things out, you might need a little bit more water in your dough. Likewise, if it's a humid day, you might need less water. So there's all sorts of things. It really comes down to the weather, the flour, the type of flour that you use, and if your flour is old, it's been sitting around in the back of your cupboard for a while, if it's not like a real fresh flour, that could make a difference.
Okay.
And I put a little bit of baking powder in my, just a quarter teaspoon of baking powder in my dough, and sometimes if you change recipes or change brands, that can make a little bit of a difference.
Amazing. Yeah. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We talk peaches today on Food Friday. We're joined by Deanna Fox and Julie Vanderlee, and back to the phones we go. Bob in Port Ewan. Bob, you're on. Hello.
Hello there. Yeah. Excellent program so far.
Thank you. We still have time to screw it up.
I beg your pardon?
We still have time to screw it up, but so far we're okay.
yeah, This has been bugging me for about 4 or 5 years. I used to love Freestone peaches, and I can't find anything other than clings anymore. How come? Did they stop making them, or what?
I actually just talked to our orchard specialist about this yesterday. And so the funny thing is actually that the clingstone peaches are the older varieties. Those are the ones that have been around longer than the freestone. Freestones actually were developed when larger industry started developing around peaches because they're a lot easier to process.
Okay.
But if you want a special tip for looking for freestone peaches, later season varieties, actually, those are the ones that tend to be freestone. So... if you were looking a couple weeks ago when peaches first started coming into season, you probably found a lot of clings. But if you look now, you might be able to find freestones. I'd recommend calling up some orchards in your area and seeing what they've got.
I was primarily interested in canned peaches. I don't think they're canning them anymore, though.
Oh, interesting.
Are they more expensive to grow?
Not particularly, actually. I think the freestones, I think that they produce a similar... volume. It's just they're easier to process, so they actually tend to be more common than clingstones in commercial orchards. So it's
very interesting.
My mother-in-law used to make peach melba, and they're fantastic in peach melba. That's over ice cream with raspberry sauce. It's delicious.
Well, you what, Bob, if you get to our website wamc.org, you're going to find a couple of recipes, and I just tried the. Is it an upside down? Technically, an upside down cake.
Absolutely,
it is. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
So you are batting 1,000. Bob, thanks for the call, and let's go to Emily in Plainfield. Emily, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Geez, you know you've been listening to WAMC a long time.
Yeah.
I have a recipe I use for blueberry peach crumble that I must have got from Chef Michael Bowen on your airwaves like over 10 years ago.
Wow.
But one thing that makes it interesting is he puts fresh thyme in with the peaches and blueberries.
What do you think, Deanna?
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of really great herbal complements to different fruits, and it just kind of highlights. It gives it like a nice earthy tone.
Oh, it's so good. Everybody loves it, and they don't know that it's in there. But I first thought, why would you put fresh thyme in with your peach blueberry crumble? But when I tried it, I loved it.
So
I use it all the time.
Thyme works really well. Rosemary is another great complement to peaches.
Really?
Yeah. So I do. I grill peaches a lot in the summer.
You grill peaches.
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah.
You must explain.
Right. You just cut them in half. You can leave the skin on. Just give them a quick rinse off. Cut them in half. Take the stone out of the middle, and grill them over moderate heat. And then I take a little bit of sugar with some balsamic vinegar, and I throw a couple of sprigs of rosemary in there. And kind of drizzle. You cook it down till it's about half its size and volume, and just drizzle it over the top with a little whipped cream. It's good.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds really good. And as far as the freestone peaches, I know there's this great orchard in Shelburne Falls. I live in Plainfield, but I run into these people from Apex Orchards at the Northampton Farmers Market, and they have wonderful freestone peaches all like from now right through September.
Mm.
I don't know where the previous caller was from, but you can't go wrong with the peaches from Apex.
Fair enough.
Thanks for the show.
Hey, Emily, thanks a lot, and thanks for the recipe.
Enjoy the peaches.
Thank you.
We sure will. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It is Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly in the Times Union and all over Albany. You're also teaching a class today.
I do. I have a class tonight on tomatoes. Yes.
And that's the notes you were scribbling were about tomatoes?
Earlier, yeah.
All right. Well, you go from peaches to tomatoes.
To tomatoes.
You're doing fine.
Yeah.
And Julie Vanderlee is the Director of Community Engagement at Fishkill Farms, and she brought peaches. We've tried the mango donut peach.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you bring?
Let's see. I brought some freestone and some clingstone. We've been hearing about this debate.
Yeah, they taste pretty much the same though, right?
They do. However, there's some debate about that. Some folks feel that the clingstone are the richer and the older and the better in flavor ones. They are older varieties.
What do you believe?
Honestly, as long as it's yellow and it's got a good peach flavor, I love it.
Okay. All right.
And so, I mean, there are tons of varieties. I think that the flavors are pretty much similar.
So you brought the donut. The free stone and the cling stone.
And I've got a couple white peaches here, too.
Okay, now tell me about the white peaches.
White peaches are interesting because they're a lot lower in acid than the yellow peach, so they don't have that really sharp peach flavor that you expect, but they have this really interesting sort of floral thing going on, you know? Like, they're sweet, but they're not as aggressive as a yellow peach.
Can I try one?
Absolutely.
Okay, this is a white. It yes. doesn't look white. I got to be honest with you.
Well, you got to bite it.
Oh, the meat is white. Okay.
Yeah. Don't get juice on the microphone.
Oh, they're very mild. Yeah, I see what you mean. But it occurs to me that you would want to eat this before you eat something like the mango donut.
Absolutely. You know what the white peaches are best in? Sangria.
Ooh.
Bam. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are some great drinks you can make with peaches, come to think of it.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Anything with whiskey.
Really?
Peaches and whiskey go really great together. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's another show in itself. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Deanna, your recipes, are they family recipes or are they things you just worked out on your own?
Some of them, like my pie recipe. I grew up next door to a woman named Barbara Stiles, I grew up in a really small town. She was like the unofficial town baker, did all the baking for church suppers and fire department, bake sales and things like that. And I spent a lot of time in her kitchen just watching her, but never really paying attention to what she did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, I moved away from home that I really wanted to learn the lessons of her wisdom. So a lot of what I do pie-wise is from her. I had a couple really great influences cooking, and I used their recipes. I used my grandmother's baked bean recipe, my Aunt Laura's coffee cake recipe when I teach classes and things like that.
Yeah.
But my mother, people kind of think that I get my cooking influence from my mother, and I do in a way, because she used to confuse the smoke alarm with the kitchen timer. So unless I wanted to eat everything Cajun for the rest of my life, I had to learn how to cook. So probably my journey into cooking came from her lack of skill.
So in teaching people, are there things that your grandmother knew that most people on the street don't know today?
Sure. I think so. And I think there's just there's been a couple generations of people getting away from being in the kitchen. And I think that's starting to come back now. So people are looking to like old Grange cookbooks and those little kind of tips and hints. And there's a plethora of blogs out there that tell people
including yours.
About these. Yes. Tell people about this.
Yeah. And your blog is Silly Goose Farm. And you have a farm. It's your own.
Yeah.
You call it a hobby farm.
It is.
But
yeah.
It's big.
It is. It's I own about 20 acres, but it was much, much bigger there. It was settled in the 1700s, and it was basically just one family, and they built the original house, the original cabin, which then became a big added-on colonial-style house where every room you walk in, you go up or down, the ceiling heights are different.
Yeah.
My house, which is built in 1886, and it's kind of a Victorian farmhouse, and then there's another Depression-era house on the back corner. So those three kind of houses have been subdivided off into their own pieces of land. But there's a dairy farm next door, and they keep their cows on our property, and we still have apples. So
it's a nice symbiotic relationship. Let's go to Laura in Albany. Laura, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I was just listening in about alcoholic drinks using peaches, I thought I would share a great recipe. Recently, I crushed up a peach with a handful of mint and shook it up with vodka and then strained all of the peach skin and mint out of it, and it was absolutely delicious.
Nice.
Sounds good.
What'd you do with the stuff you shook out? Because that sounds delicious.
I threw it away. I guess I should think twice about that next time.
Make one of those mini pies, you know.
Yeah, throw it into some jam.
I like it. Hey, that's a great recipe, and it sounds like it's a little potent, too, so good job.
It was very strong, but it actually brought out the better flavors in the vodka. I'm not really a big vodka drinker, but this drink I actually really liked.
Cool drink. Laura, thanks a lot for the call.
Sure.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here, and Julie Vanderlee. And Julie, after the second or third bite, now I'm starting to taste the subtlety of the white peach, and it really is delicious.
You know, they don't get nearly as much love as the yellow peach, but we have some folks who will wait and call us until peach season starts looking just for the white peach because they're not as common.
But they are available.
Absolutely.
But these are really nice. And I would think that if you start with this all summer late summer in harvest season, you're going to do okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you cook with these? Can you do something nice?
Yeah,
Deanna?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're smaller than some of the other peaches that you've brought, so they might be really great for canning.
It's delicious, though. Very mild.
Yeah.
Very mild.
Yeah.
But juicy. Mm-hmm. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. What else can we do? Now, we know that you can grill peaches, mm-hmm. which just shocks the heck out of me, to be honest with you. What can you do beside desserts with peaches?
Sure. Well, one common way, you can bake them as soon as you get them, as soon as you bring them home from the market or the orchard. But you can also preserve them at home. So you can slice them and dehydrate them. People freeze them. They freeze really easy. Mm. If you're going,
do they freeze well, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
they
we actually, for ones that get slightly bumped or come back from market and that sort of thing, we have an entire walk-in freezer now with a great stock of frozen peaches for the winter.
And so
they freeze beautifully. Yeah.
But in the old days, they would just can them or make preserves out of them.
Sure. If you're going to freeze them, I would recommend that you you can keep the peel on, mm-hmm. slice them and take out the pit, and then just slice them into whatever kind of shape you want. Put them on a single layer on a cookie sheet or a jelly roll tray. Put it in your freezer. And then when they're kind of individually frozen, put them in a Ziploc bag.
That's exactly what we do.
How long will they keep in the Ziploc bag?
Forever. For as long as you need them to stay.
Till the next harvest. Let's go to Mary in Saratoga Springs. Mary, you're on.
Oh, hi, Ray. I have a drink for you.
Oh, good.
Prosecco wine.
Nice.
And peaches.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And what you do is, of course, you wash and peel the peaches, and you cut them into slices about a quarter inch thick. And you put them in a serving bowl, add a little bit of sugar, about two-thirds of a cup, and the wine, and stir them. Now, if you want to, you could add raspberries and blueberries, and then you have a drink.
Yeah.
Prosecco is the best one to use. I've used it in people at dinners, and people just love it.
You know, you've called before with drinks, and I got to say, Mary, that both Deanna and Julie are nodding their heads in agreement. So,
oh, good. I also called about the asparagus and prosciutto. Remember that?
Ah, yes.
Oh, there you go.
I remember very well. Well, thank you for calling, and that's a great idea. And, you know, it just occurred to me when Mary was saying her recipe that I bet you if you got a good extra dry vermouth, not the standard brand, but maybe a Noilly Pratt or a real good one, put a piece of peach in that.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It really
I might try
is.
That tonight.
Yeah. Oh, the zest of a lemon, too. Throw in some lemon zest, and it'll top it off perfectly.
Mary, don't be a stranger. Call more often.
Mm-hmm. I will, Ray. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Pat in Cambridge. Pat, you're on a Food Friday.
Hello. Let me pull over. I'm in the car here.
Good plan.
There you go.
And I'll have some pie. You go ahead.
Lovely show. Lovely show. I'm going to go get some peaches right now. I hope in Cambridge our orchard has them. I don't know if they're available up here yet. But my point, most important question is I'm wondering what kind of pie crust the pie maker uses. Does she use lard? Does she use butter? Does she buy the crust? What does she do?
Right. I have done everything you possibly could to figure out how to make a pie crust. So I think I finally got a good one.
Yeah, you do.
So I use 2 1/4 cups, usually of pastry flour, but if you have all-purpose flour, that works just fine. So you take that flour, you add a teaspoon of kosher salt. If you don't have kosher salt, use half a teaspoon of table salt.
Why is kosher salt better or sea salt? But sea salt is not kosher salt, right?
Right.
But why is kosher salt better?
I typically have kosher salt in my kitchen, in my pantry, so that's what I use. Kosher salt is a flake in its crystal, so when you measure it, there's more air between each of the flake, whereas table salt is like a little building block, a little cube.
So it's more subtle.
It's about the same taste. It's all NaCl, all sodium chloride. It's called kosher salt because it actually sticks to meat and is used in the koshering process and pulls out the blood.
Okay.
I never knew that.
But yeah, so it's just basically a different grain structure in each little grain of salt. So it's 2 1/4 cups of your flour, a teaspoon of kosher salt, a quarter teaspoon of baking powder.
Never did that before.
It just gives a little tiny lift. Mix that together, and then you're going to take 1/3 cup of butter. If you're using a stick of butter, that's 5 1/3 tablespoons. It sounds crazy, but 1/3 cup of unsalted butter. And then I actually put in 1/3 cup plus 1 tablespoon of shortening. And I feel like that makes the best crust because the butter kind of releases its moisture in like a big pop. So that's how you get your flakes, your flaky crust, and it creates just a nice flavor. It tastes that butter flavor. And then I use Crisco. That's my just not flavored, just plain old Crisco.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of almost like melts, and it makes the crust really tender. So you have a flaky and a tender crust, so you don't have to decide which one you're going to go for. So cut that in together with your dry ingredients, and then ice water. Just make sure you don't get any ice into it. And it depends on the weather and your flour, but usually between 5 and 7 tablespoons of water will do it.
Okay.
Yep.
And the difference between pastry flour and not, I guess it's a lighter crust with
Great
the pastry
question.
Flour.
Right. The pastry flour, I feel, just makes the crust a little bit more tender. But really, if you're not eating pie every day, you probably wouldn't notice. I eat pie almost every day.
Good
so.
For you. Now that's...
I think I should do what you do so I really can make a good pie
yeah.
at the drop of a hat.
Either will work great. But you can make this, cut it in half. It's going to make a 9-inch double crust. So you'll have a ball for the top half and a ball for the bottom half of your pie. And you can even freeze it. So you can freeze it up to 3 months.
Great. I can't wait to get home and check out the recipes online.
Well, thanks, Pat. We appreciate it. WAMC.org. You can search Food Friday, or you can go to the Vox Pop page and find the link there. We'll take a break here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Time for some more pie. We'll be back.
Support comes from Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors. HudsonValleyFresh.com. Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Springfield Museums, presenting Norman Rockwell's world, reinterpreting the American tradition in the 21st century at the Wood Museum of Springfield History. SpringfieldMuseums.org. And Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Berkshire Community College, offering classes in the arts, literature, history, science, plus talks, trips, and events for people 50 years old and up. 413-236-2190.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, rainy and yucky out, and so nice and peachy inside here. It is, I'll tell you what, we've had peach upside down cake, we've had peach pie, and we've had two different kinds of peaches. And I know, Julie Vanderly, you brought more.
All right, I did.
What do you got?
Well, there's some more yellows I've got. I don't think we've even touched those yet.
Let's try.
Still on the whites and the mangoes. Hold on. All right. Let me find you a good
so
one.
So far, I got to say the mango donut peach is maybe my favorite peach of all time. So the bar is set pretty high. Okay, she's looking.
There we go.
All right, what do you got?
This is a classic yellow. It's a little underripe, but
okay. Now, classic yellow. So, is this a cling? Is this a freestone? What is it?
Well, it should be a cling.
Okay.
but you can't really tell until you're
firm.
In it. Yeah.
Firm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. How can you tell?
You can only tell once you cut it or bite all the way in. That's the problem with trying to tell it beforehand.
So this is a very compared to the white peach, and even the donut, the mango donut, this is a very firm peach.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have more of this. Let's go to the phones again. Natalie, help me out with a long question. Natalie in Springfield, you're on.
Hello?
Hello.
Howdy.
Yes. I had a question. I used to be able to get free-sown peaches at a farm in Somers, Connecticut. I can't find them in the grocery stores anywhere. First National used to carry them in their Your Garden brand. First National is no more.
Mm-hmm.
All I can get at the stores is cling, and I find them hard and not as tasty.
That's interesting because, it's the argument often goes the other way. A lot of folks feel the clings are the tastier ones. So, I mean, there may be a rift there that is undecided. What I can tell you is to try and look at it for local farms because they tend to have a lot more of different varieties. And so you may be able to find what you're looking for if you want to just give some folks a few calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie. I appreciate it. Now, I got peach juice all over my nice dress shirt.
I warned you.
yeah, I need it. I think it was the white peach that you warned me about. My wife is going to look at me and say, you've done it again. Another another Food Friday, and you've done it again.
You need to get a little Food Friday bib.
You know what? Oh, this is a Fun Drive premium waiting to happen. A WAMC Food Friday bib. Genius. All right, let's go to Mark in Schenectady. Mark, you're on.
Hi. I have a variation off of the wine and peach.
Okay.
I'm of Italian descent. My father used to cut the peaches and then put them into any kind of dish, and then pour a Chianti over the wine.
Nice.
And then let the Chianti sit in the wine for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. And he found that, and it had to be with a sweeter peach, that the sweetness and the Chianti, which has more of a bitter taste to it, it was a good compliment, that bittersweet type of, and he would just eat it like that. And very simple. And he said that his father, because they were in the Depression, after they'd have a community garden or whatever, and they'd have peaches there, and that's what he would eat after dinner. So it's just a simple recipe. Just make sure it's in a bowl so that the peach can absorb the wine. And sometime he would pour the wine out and have that in a separate glass and just eat the peach. Or sometimes he'd eat it right in the container with the wine. And I was wondering if any of your guests have heard of that recipe.
What do you think? Julie, you mentioned you got to spit out your peach. Well done. You mentioned sangria.
That's pretty much about what we did. We soak it in some white wine, a little bit of triple sec, actually. Just to add a little more sweeten. But yeah, then you eat both. You eat the peach, you drink the wine. It's a good time.
Yes. That's correct. But again, of Italian descent, Chianti was very big, mm-hmm. in our household. So he was brought up with, of course, a Chianti after dinner. So mm-hmm. Evidently, any kind of sangria would also work. You're saying,
right? Mm-hmm. I've never used peaches in a red sangria. I usually use them in a white. And
yes.
Someone before said that they added, Prosecco. You mentioned, Julie, that you add triple sec. I actually like a little bit of brandy in it, just to kind of give it a little more punch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And actually, I really like freezing the fruit before I put it in sangria because it kind of chills everything and you don't have to dilute it with ice. So.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Enjoy. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Julie, this is a good time to have some more peach. It's between calls.
Get on that.
1-800-348-2551. Cindy in Northville. Cindy, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Peaches are my absolute favorite fruit, and there's nothing worse than buying a big bag of peaches, biting into one, and finding that they're dry. Hmm. Is there anything that can be done for this once you've already infested?
Reconditioning peaches.
Well, my first question is, where are you buying them?
At a fruit stand,
huh? So they haven't traveled far, so it's not like they're going to be dehydrating. What we recommend to our customers is we usually sell them when they're a little bit more firm than you would eat, and if you do bite into them then, they're definitely not that juicy. What we recommend doing is set them on your windowsill for a couple days, just maybe 1 or 2 days, and they'll soften a little bit more. Because the problem is usually folks will pick them and then put them out for sale while they're still a little bit hard and they're not as juicy as they would be, because then you can ship them, you can carry them, you can take them home without them bursting all over your car.
Or your shirt.
Yes. So I would recommend just putting them on your windowsill for a couple days, or put them in a brown paper bag on the counter, and that should let them soften a little bit. And that
okay,
will.
I'll give it a try.
Thanks a lot, Cindy. We appreciate the call. It is a Food Friday. Okay, Deanna, I am now at the crust.
Okay.
You did good. I'm sorry. I know it was not a perfect pie, but that's a good crust.
Thank you.
So the recipe is on our website.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody should follow that. That's really good work. Let's go to Mary in North. Where are you calling from, Mary?
North Hero, Vermont.
Okay, you're on.
Okay, this is for making your pie crust.
All right.
Now, I listened to the recipe, and that's excellent. My mother used to do very similar. And I might suggest that in your liquid, one for a two-crust pie, 1 tablespoon of white vinegar, or upwards of maybe a little more of vodka in the water. And what happens is, with the vodka, it gives you the liquid when you're kneading it, to moisten the flour, but in the process of cooking, the vodka disappears, and it results in a beautiful texture of a pie crust.
Does it change the taste at all, Mary?
No.
No?
No. It's all gone. And the vinegar, you have a slight vinegary odor when you're putting in your crust, but it all goes away, and you have a beautiful crust on the other end of the process. It's really delicious.
Now, right. I've tried both of those methods before, and I usually have vinegar on hand. I don't always have vodka on hand, but I've never noticed any versus the recipe that I use now. I haven't noticed such a difference that that's something I would do on a regular basis. But I know plenty of people who have used either method, and they really are happy with the results. So.
Well, it's just a suggestion. I think that the vodka came from the Cook's Country show, and I tried it once, and it was nice. You know, it's not like a game changer, but it's nice.
Right.
The other question I have with your peaches. Now, I use currants, red currants, with making pies and stuff. And do you know anything about the red currants? Not red currants, but black currants.
I don't make a lot of currant pie. My mother, that's one thing my mother, who doesn't really cook or bake, can make. So I'm assuming it's not too awful.
Okay, well, yeah. I was just wondering about the advisability of, and probably it would taste delicious, if you're making a cup pie, 1 cup currants, and the rest peaches, because with rhubarb, that combination with a little orange peel is just outstanding. But let's go back to the pie crust.
Okay.
One thing that I found is a wonderful means of rolling the pie crust out is a plain tea towel, linen, well coated with flour, and flour your rolling pin, and you roll your crust out on that. It tends not to stick. So I just would throw that out because there's so many ways of rolling it out on marble or whatever. But I found that if you have a well floured tea towel, no nubbies, just flat, it just makes it like a dream because you just move your hands up under the pie crust and you can lift it off and it doesn't stick. That's all I want to say. So I really enjoy your show, and I especially enjoy your peach show because peaches are so great.
I like it too.
That they are.
Thanks, Mary. Any comments?
Yeah, Mary? It's called a pie cloth. You can find them pretty regularly, and I use them. And I actually have almost like a sleeve that goes over my rolling pin that's linen, and same concept. And it reduces the amount of flour that you need to add to keep things from sticking, and then you just throw it in the wash when you're done.
I'm still amazed by this concept, and of course, you can look at me. I'm not a baker, so you put vodka. You could put vodka in, and it evaporates out, but. Isn't there I'm not really a vodka drinker, but isn't there a character of a taste that would change?
It doesn't. And the alcohol evaporates differently than the water, and it helps with the flakiness, I think.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Julie Vanderlee, Community Engagement Director at Fishkill Farms, and Deanna Fox, Food and Agriculture Writer for the TU and all over Albany, and a teacher as well. Let's go to Dina in Rhinebeck. Dina, you're on.
Hi, this is a great show, and it's so timely because after trying for 10 years, I finally won a blue ribbon at the Dutchess County Fair for my peaches.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Congratulations, Dina.
I tried so hard every year, and I was going to give up, but a friend said, no, you've got to try just once more. And around year 6 or 7, you know, I was complaining to my mom, and my mom said, I've never liked your peach pie.
Well, now she tells you. Wow.
Right. So anyway, the one thing that I tried a different recipe this year, and I think that made a big difference. And you prepared the peaches, sliced them all, and put the sugar on them, and then let them sit for an hour. And then you drain them, and you keep that juice and put the cornstarch in a pan with the juice and butter, and then... until it thickens, and then you gently coat the peaches before you put them in the shell. Mm. And I put in a little bit of cardamom, too, but it was just perfect.
Okay.
It sounds great.
So I guess I'm just bragging more than anything.
That's okay.
Else.
It's good that you won the blue ribbon, and we're proud of you, Dina.
Indeed.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for a great show.
Thanks a lot. Let's go to Daniel and Amherst. Daniel, you're on.
Oh, hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So the question I had was if there was sort of a simple recommended method for preserving these peaches now that they're in season, or, you know, sort of a home canning method that, you know, didn't impart too much sugar or change them in such a way that, you know, you don't have the options later in the year when you'd like to, you know, bake with them or do other things.
Yeah, sure. Canning peaches is great, and peaches are pretty easy to can. The first thing you want to do is make sure that you have the right equipment. You can hot water bath can peaches. You don't need to pressure can them. So just a big pot with some sort of protective rack or even just a kitchen towel on the bottom so your glass isn't coming in direct heat with your stove.
How hot should the water be?
Boiling.
Oh, it should be boiling.
Yep.
Okay.
Boiling. It's got to be at a boil to really suck out that air and actually preserve what you're working on. You want to peel your peach before you can it. So you can do that with a vegetable peeler, or you can pop them, cut a little X in the bottom with a sharp knife, just a small one, pop them in boiling water for about 30 seconds, and then put them into ice water, and that skin will just pop right off.
Yeah.
Cut them in half, take out the pit. You want to put them in some sort of an acid, like a citric acid. And that really, all that really will do is preserve the color.
Okay.
So you could do like a bowl of cold water with a couple of tablespoons of lemon juice, or you can even buy citric acid. And if you do that, you want to do bottled lemon juice to make sure that the citric acid is at the right amount. From there, you put them in your jar. One thing you need to worry about is if you use a wide mouth jar, your peach will float a little bit. So use a regular mouth with kind of where it has like the
really
shoulder on it, and it kind of has a bottleneck, and that'll keep your peaches from floating up.
Ah.
So you just pack them in, pack them in as tight as you can kind of get them. And then you want to make a syrup that you're going to put it in, and you can go as heavy or light as you want. So if you want to just do a light syrup, it's, I don't know the
ratio.
When
you say heavy or light, it's the amount of sugar?
The amount of sugar.
Yeah.
So a heavy syrup is almost a 1-to-1 ratio. A light syrup is like 10 cups of water to like a cup and a quarter of sugar.
And that won't affect the preservation?
It won't. So you pour that over the top. You want to go leave a headspace of about an inch. And usually right where your band, your lid on your mason jar hits, that's right where you want to bring your liquid up to. Make sure you wipe the rim before you put your lids on so it doesn't stick on you when you try to open it up in January. And then bring your water up to a boil. Put your jars in. Depending on the size of your jar, for half a pint, we'll say 7 to 10 minutes. For a quart, you would want to go probably 15 minutes, and just check the next day to make sure that your lid has actually sealed, and they'll be good for a year.
Wow, that is much easier than some of the things I was seeing online.
Daniel, thanks a lot for the call. In the brief time we have left, we'll try to get a couple of more calls in. Trudy in Kingston. Trudy.
Yes, I have a recipe for peach chutney.
Okay.
That I've been making.
Love the stuff. Good.
Yeah, I've been making it for years, and it's from a fine preserving cookbook that's an older book. And it's very popular around the holidays, particularly with turkey or with chicken or ham or whatever. And it's good on sandwiches, too. And it's primarily yellow peaches, sugar, raisins, a little bit of green pepper, some garlic, and mustard seed. And just a dash of cayenne pepper. And you just boil it down and, you know, and jar it just the way you would any other jam.
Are you an internet person, Trudy? Do you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you go to our website, go to the Food Friday page, and put that recipe on there, because that sounds delicious.
It is. It's a very good, it's very easy, and it's a nice way to get rid of all the extra peaches.
Well, that's great. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's go on up over to Joe in Newburgh. Joe, you might be the last one. You have about 15 seconds.
Okay, quick question. I'm an outdoors guy, so my family, we camp up at the Adirondacks and also down on the beach. But at the Adirondacks, my father's very good making a peach cobbler in a Dutch oven right on the coals. And I've always been curious, how do you regulate that heat with making sure, you know, it cooks well?
Okay,
and
very
thanks.
Quickly. We only have about 10 seconds here to answer that.
Sure.
Okay, how you're asking how you regulate the heat?
Yes, on an open fire.
Basically, well, you're not adding a lot of batter, and it's kind of a it's kind of a wet batter, and that's just going to be water evaporating off. So as long as that cooks through, you're fine. It really doesn't matter about the heat.
All right. Well, that is where we will have to leave it. Deanna Fox, Thank you so much. The blog is Silly Goose Farm?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. And Julie Vanderlee, thanks for all the peaches. Wonderful. Fishkill Farms, and we appreciate you coming here today. Support comes from the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heather Ridge Farm, Preston Hollow, New York. Cooking class and supper with Chef Rob, Saturday, August 23rd, 5:30 p.m. Canning, fermentation, and dehydrating, 518-239-6234 for directions and reservations. Lennox Plastic Surgery and Skin Center of BMC, plastic, reconstructive, and hand surgery and laser skin treatments by Dr. Rodrigo Santa Marina, BerkshireHealthSystems.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoon, spirithaus.com. And Southern Vermont Art Center, presenting Brian Sweetland's Nature of Vermont Artist Journey, exhibition of Broken Color, Aerial Perspective, and Plein Air Painting, svac.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Alan will be here for Medical Monday.